Welcome back to Does Not Compute. We have a lovely sponsor this week, Hired. Here's the bottom line. Hired is easily the best way for great designers and great developers to find great jobs. They've got a ton of incredible new opportunities at some of the best cities ever built by humans. We're talking places like Washington, D.C., Chicago, London, Seattle, Austin, New York City, Toronto, and San Francisco. Not only is Hired focused on helping you find an incredible new job, they even manage to make the process of finding that new job pleasant. So you go to Hired.com and sign up. It's totally free, and if you land a job through them, they'll give you $2,000. These companies are in the amazing locations I already mentioned. They are pre-screened, and you don't pay a cent to get job offers from them. Whenever a company reaches out to you through Hired, they show salary and equity up front, so you're never left in the dark. If you sign up at hired.com/doesnotcompute and get a job through them, they'll double that sweet bonus. $4,000 and an awesome new job. Please note that your account will still talk about a $2,000 bonus, but that's just because development is hard. Let's call it a hidden feature. You'll definitely still get $4,000. All right, awesome jobs, a great user experience, and some hidden features. What are you waiting for? Head to hired.com/doesnotcompute and sign up right now.
What was that quote you mentioned earlier today? You said it was something about priorities and having...
Oh, yeah. It's a Merlin Mann. It's a really old tweet of his. It's priorities are like arms. If you think you have more than a couple, you're either lying or crazy.
Yeah. That's so true, though.
I love it. It applies to so many different things. And we're working with some kind of larger companies right now at Octopus. And it kind of, it's just so apt. Like, you can't do everything all the time.
It's funny when I think about that, I just think about everything that I try to do and realize how silly it is. Well, not silly, but I know better, you know?
Why does nothing work, Sean?
Because people try to over-engineer everything, Paul.
I actually read a really good article about over-engineering, a week ago. And basically the guy was saying people are always building applications and saying right off the bat, oh, I need to use Redis. I need to use Redis. I'll use Postgres for some stuff, but Redis has to be available because this is going to be web scale. And the dude actually ran some benchmarks. I wish I could remember his name. I can't off the top of my head. But the guy actually ran some benchmarks for his blog post. And for 10 million records incrementing a counter, PG was about, I think it was 30 seconds slower out of 900 minutes or something total that it took both of them. It's such a common thing in engineering to say, I'm going to use this cool new thing. I'm going to use this technology that's the fastest and best, and it's going to be awesome, without making sure that it's battle tested first and making sure that you even need it. Like, the old thing might be totally okay. It's so prevalent in engineering culture. I have to use the cool thing. I have to use the new thing. I have to use the fast thing, or at least the thing that people think are fast.
It's interesting to me that people, especially in, you know, the tech community, buy into marketing so quickly. I feel like everyone is generally skeptical of most things, but they still buy into it anyway.
Right. Well, it's kind of like for a new phone or a new car or whatever, engineers will always jump to say, oh, well, this, and this are clearly lies. But then for some new programming language or some new database or anything like that, everybody jumps on the train right away. And that's not necessarily the right answer. It's fun, especially for personal projects and stuff. It's fun. But when you're building stuff in the real world, you really have to be careful, right?
Yeah, especially when you have clients that are paying for something, you know, they expect to work and you have a deadline. You know, I think that's the biggest thing, is you have a deadline and you pick something out that's new to you and you don't know. And then suddenly there's a gotcha and another gotcha and another gotcha, and pretty soon you're writing a message like, I'm not quite as far along as I expected.
You actually linked me another article in kind of the same vein a couple days ago about how Facebook did this report of when they have the most bugs going on in the system. And it was consistently that the number of bugs reported and the number of things that went wrong always dropped over the weekends. And then there was a massive drop to almost zero over the late December-ish period of time when a lot of people take vacation. And what this article was trying to point out is that nobody pointed out the fact that that's when all the engineers are gone. And maybe that means that your engineers are trying to do too many things, or that you have too many cooks, or something along those lines. It's just, people just say, oh, well, when our engineers aren't here, we have no bugs. And that's a really scary thought. And I think kind of a side effect of the, I got to use the new cool thing culture.
Actually, elsewhere in that article, it mentions that the iOS app alone has 18,000 classes in it. And I think it was somewhere around 450 developers on just the iOS app itself. I don't even know how you go about coordinating everything. That blows my mind.
I mean, based on the stuff that was presented in that report, it sounds like they aren't really coordinating it that well. And this isn't us trying to bag on Facebook or anything, because Facebook does a lot of awesome stuff and they have some of the smartest people in the world working there. But it is kind of a product of that engineering culture of, we need to throw more developers at it, or we need to throw cool new stuff at it, or we need to do something. Just more power, right? Tim the Tool Man Taylor. We just need to keep pushing and it's going to get better. But that's not always the case. Sometimes it can be great to use something that you know works and is really reliable. I think we've talked about this before, actually, with Drew Wilson. And he uses tools that some people consider outdated, at least for some of his projects. And he defends that by saying, well, you know what? I'm really good with them and I can make cool stuff. And isn't that the whole reason we're here? To make cool stuff? And I agree with that. You just look at so much of engineering and it's, I gotta make this thing using the latest, coolest gadget. So what got me thinking about this is I was linked a few days ago to this older article by Joel Spolsky, the Stack Overflow guy. One of the Stack Overflow guys, anyway. And this is pretty old. It was written in 2009. But essentially what he's talking about is duct tape programmers. Kind of the idea of the duct tape programmer is, opposed to somebody who has only the book knowledge, the duct tape programmer has a sort of street smarts, as it were, or at least programming streets. They know when you should be using multiple inheritance or when you shouldn't be using it, perhaps more importantly. And they know when you should be using Redis or if you should just be sticking to a relational database. And they take stuff and it might not be the prettiest when it's done, but it works. And this is by all means not a endorsement of cowboy programming, where you do whatever you want all the time, because we do need standards and practices. We do need to think about how we're building these things and how it will affect us and people who work with us a year or 2 years or 5 years down the road. But at the same time, it's very important to consider what's too much, right?
Sure. I mean, I think there's something to be said for, you know, something that's out there and something that's working and people are using it versus, you know, an app that's still in development, still getting mulled over. You know, people are still thinking about the best way to do something.
I mean, really, when you think about it, we're talking about Facebook now, where they have 450 something engineers on their mobile app and they are always causing these problems when their engineers are working. They have more bugs. But at the same time, when you go back to Facebook's roots, Facebook was Mark Zuckerberg writing some PHP of all languages in his dorm room. And that's kind of cool. Like, you can make something that takes over the world in pretty much every sense of that phrase. And you could make that in PHP.
You totally could. I mean, you could easily do that. Now, I'm sure people are going to pipe up about scale and all that, but that's a different problem, I think.
Well, scale is a problem once you have scale.
Once you have users.
Yeah, you can't scale without people. So you can't scale without a product, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, sure, there's people that just kind of get so stressed out over decisions that they're making because of a problem that they don't have yet.
I think worrying about scale too early is actually kind of another form of over-engineering, because there's no scale without users, and there's no users without a product, and there's no product without, you know, making a thing.
Right. There's no product without actually releasing something for people to use, right? That's something that Drew Wilson is really good at, and he's always kind of inspired me with his ability to just put something out. I was reading recently, he was going into his office and he was looking for a piece of paper and he couldn't he couldn't find a piece of paper, and he's been working on this Mac app. And so he had an idea, why don't I just make a Mac app in the next 24 hours that will allow me to not have to ever look for a piece of paper again. So he stayed up all night and made it, and he put it in the App Store. And that was that.
I think it was a whiteboard style app, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think it might have even been called whiteboard. I'll have to find it. But, you know, that's something I always admired was, you know, him having an idea and then him just deciding, I'm going to do this thing. And then he does it.
Right. And even if that's not super successful, even if it's not, you know, the coolest or cleanest or whatever-ist thing in the world, it's still a thing that you made and you put out into the world. And for me, at least when I was starting out, and you know what, actually, still to this day, when I release something into the world, mentally that's very different because I put it through a very different lens. Releasing something into the world for me is, it's something where I think about it a lot more. I test it a lot more. I try to do the absolute best job I can every time. And I think this might not be the case for everybody, but at least for me, that's not something that I do every time I make something. If I'm just making something really quick for myself, I just kind of throw it together. And that doesn't really help me get better. But if I release it, and whether that's, you know, putting it on the App Store or releasing it as open source on GitHub or whatever, it doesn't really matter what release means. But just the act of doing that for me makes me so much better. It makes me a better programmer and a better at thinking about things.
Definitely. And it also, I mean, it also doesn't hurt that, you know, if people contribute to that, then you're, you know, you're writing code with other people, you're reading other people's source code, which, you know, we've talked about before as being something that's really important. I think that it just helps all around. It's just a good situation.
Yeah, actually, you released a little Statamic plugin. I think this is probably a month or two ago, not that long. And when you released it, you said, you know, if anybody has any improvements, go for it. Send a pull request and I'll merge them in. And almost immediately, somebody had a pull request to improve it and make it better. And it helped you learn. And it made the product better as a whole. So I think that's a really cool example of how this community can work and how it can make everybody get better.
And to go back to the idea of worrying about scale too soon, I think it's, you know, I think it's great that from what I know, at least Drew doesn't really worry about that. He just builds something and puts it out there. And if he has to worry about it, then he has to worry about it. If he has to hire developers, then that's something he's got to do. But at least it's out there, like you said. At least, you know, at least it's something that people can use and people can draw inspiration from.
All right. So you keep talking about this, but I have not actually had a chance to mess with it yet. View Developer Tools. This is an extension for Chrome. I'm not sure if it's for any other browsers.
Just for now, it's for Chrome.
Basically, what this does is it adds a View Dev Tools tab to the Web Inspector, and it allows you to look at all the views on a given page and kind of deal with those in their own separate environment that's optimized. I haven't actually used it yet, but you have a little bit. Can you give me kind of some insight on that?
So far for me, it's kind of sped things up a little bit, because I don't have to go into the code and log a bunch of stuff out all the time. So if anyone's ever used the React DevTools before, if you've ever looked at them before, it's a similar idea where you click on the tab and you get basically a list of all of your components or all of your templates on the page, and you can filter them, you can search for them. You know, it actually shows you what is a component versus what is just a DOM fragment. And then if you click on one of those items on the right-hand side, it has just a drill-down menu that shows you the data that belongs to that particular component. It also has labels on the side, so you can tell what data is coming in from a prop or what data is being set from inside of the component. It also labels computed values that are changed as well, which I find pretty useful. And beside that, there's a little button called Send to Console, which in the Chrome console, it caches that data or that view, that actual instance of the view component in the console, so you can use it, you can change the data on the fly and everything. It's pretty great for debugging.
That sounds really cool. I'll definitely have to check it out as I get into more view-related stuff. I think this is really just the fact that this exists, though, for me, is kind of another example of how much of a rocket ship view is. It's really, really taking off right now. and people are getting into it and kind of understanding why this makes a lot more sense than many other libraries and frameworks for a lot of use cases, at least. Not all by any means, but a lot.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing. It's mind-boggling to me how Evan is able to do as much as he does. I mean, he's doing all of this, right? So he's working on Vue. He's fixing bugs, which I think the average issue lifespan on GitHub is 13 hours, I want to say, which is nuts anyway, right? But on top of all that, he's building these dev tools. He's actually trying to make the ecosystem better.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that there is no corporate sponsor. It's just one person who's making this thing because they think it's important and adding the features and making the changes that they think are important. That to me is a very, I don't want this to sound pretentious, but it's kind of a pure open source thing. It kind of reminds me of how open source was a little bit more, how big open source projects at least were a little bit more back in the day with things like jQuery and Underscore. They weren't quite so explicitly backed by large corporations, even though there was corporate involvement in them, of course, as there almost always is in everything in modern society. But it was a little bit less of an ownership and more of a support aspect, I think. At least that's how I perceived it at the time.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. You know, I've talked to a few people. I guess, you know, since we've been talking about Vue a lot, people have asked, well, aren't you concerned that it's not backed by a corporate sponsor? Or aren't you concerned that it's not a large team of people, you know, behind it? And I guess as of right now, I'm not, because the track record speaks for itself. It's been around for a few years. You know, he's been very responsive the entire time. It's only been getting better, you know, and there are a lot of people submitting pull requests and there are a lot of people actively involved in making decisions. So it's not like he's literally doing everything on his own. There's a large number of people there supporting him. He's just kind of steering the ship.
Absolutely. And if you really think about it, something like, for example, Ruby on Rails, that has the 37signals/Basecamp backing. Definitely there is a corporate sponsor of sorts, but it's, again, not an ownership. When people think about Ruby on Rails, the first thing they think of is not usually Basecamp. The first thing they think of is just Rails, and there's so many awesome sites built with it. And it has survived and existed for so long and will continue to survive and exist, hopefully, for many years. And there's such a great community around that without requiring a Google or a Facebook behind it. Not that there's anything wrong with that by any metric, but I think it's refreshing to see something that is really kind of taking the dev world by storm, in a sense, and is just a person who wanted to make a really cool thing and is excited about making that thing. You just listened to episode 6 of Does Not Compute, hosted by Sean Washington and me, Paul Straw. We want to give another shout out to Hired, today's sponsor. If you haven't checked Hired out yet, you definitely should. They're the free, no obligations way to find your next design or development job. Awesome companies, awesome cities, and if you sign up at hired.com/doesnotcompute, a $4,000 bonus when you land your new job. If you're really digging the show, please rate us on iTunes. It's a huge help. It just takes a second, and we honestly really appreciate it.